Well, good morning. I'm excited to be here with you this morning, and more so excited that Scott Rambo is my friend. We've been knowing each other for at least 10 years, and we have had an amazing friendship, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to stand here today to encourage you, to preach to you this morning. And it doesn't really matter how old we are, where we come from in life. All of us need encouragement. Am I right? All of us need encouragement. And so this morning, I want to share with you a message or a sermon that really means a lot to me because I've had to experience certain things in life that has not been so, I would say, tasteful, has not been enjoyable. But because of the relationship that I have with Jesus Christ, I've been able to bear it. I've been able to hold up under the pressure. And so I pray that after this sermon today, that you'll be able to experience the same joy, the same excitement that I have about going through and being okay with it. Amen? One of the things that, as I thought about putting this sermon together, one of the things that I thought about was when I was growing up. And as a kid, one of the highlights of my week was to be able to be at home on Saturday mornings in my bed with the AC blowing and the cover over my head and just enjoying my bed. The other highlight I enjoyed was being in my bed, getting up early, watching some of my favorite cartoons. One of those cartoons was the Super Friends. I enjoyed the Super Friends. I enjoyed the Super Friends. They were just amazing. Aquaman, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern. I was excited about the Super Friends. But then I would also like, don't laugh, Sesame Street. I love Sesame Street. I used to love Big Bird. And then I used to love the Grouch, you know, because sometimes I can be grouchy. And I used to love the Grouch, you know, the guy with the grouchy. But the other one that I really love, and every time I would look at this particular show, there was always something happening. That was the amazing Superman, the original Superman. I believe his name is George Reeves that played this particular character. I used to love watching Superman do his thing. But all the time and oftentimes throughout the month, as I would look at this particular show, things like this would happen.
This is a test. This station is conducting a test of the emergency broadcast system. This is a test.
I hated that sound. I hated that sound. Let me tell you how much I hated it. Let me just tell you, because after that sound would go off and, you know, they would have this 60-second beep sound going throughout my ears, then a voice would come back and say, this is a test. This is a test of the emergency broadcast system. The broadcasters in your area, in conjunction with the federal, state, and local authorities, have developed this particular, you see, I hate this because I remembered the whole speech, have designed this to warn you in case of an emergency. If this would have been an actual emergency, the sound you just heard would have been able to warn you and tell you exactly what you need to do. I remember that as a kid. Every time my favorite show would be on, that would come on and interrupt my show. And you know, as I thought about that, I thought about even in life, as you and I are going throughout life, we're living lives, we're doing what we're doing, we're experiencing God, we're excited about life. Every now and then, the beep sound happens. Life begins to throw a curveball. When it looks like you've been going well, you are on a job, doing what you were supposed to do on a job, then up, here we go, pink slip. You're fired, you let go. You were going through life, you were enjoying life, traveling with your family, doing everything that you do, then here we go, physical ailment. Have you ever been like that? Have you ever known some people who have just been traveling through life, having a great time, watching their favorite show of life, but then life happens? Well, today I want to encourage you, because this is an area, and many times, I don't know if a lot of congregants really understand that as a pastor, as a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that the sermons that God allows us to preach and allows us to develop, those sermons have to hit us first. And so this sermon was one that had to hit me, because over the years, I have had to experience test after test after test. And so I want to warn you right now that this sermon is rated R for relevant. You'll be able to use this sermon. In the book of James, James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, I would like to read these verses in your hearing. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. James writes, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Today I want to use for a topic, it's only a test. It's only a test. When we think about this particular chapter, this book of James, James was the half-brother of Jesus Christ. James wrote this particular book to believers, to Christians who had been dispersed abroad, a Gentile world. He wrote this book to believers who had been dispersed abroad, a world where people did not love Christ, know Christ, and he's writing it to encourage those believers to stand fast, to stay firm. And in the book of James, you have over 54 imperatives. An imperative is a command. This is what you are supposed to do. Here in James chapter 1, we see the first imperative in verse 2 when he's encouraging these believers in the midst of a foreign territory. He says, "Consider it all joy when you encounter various trials." First imperative, consider it all joy when you encounter various trials. And so as I looked at this particular book and I looked at my life and kind of thought about your lives and said, well, God, what do you want to teach us in this particular lesson? Here it is. I believe that God wants us to know that even in 2017, that you and I have to be able, because we're on a winning team, we're saved, we're sanctified, we're on our way to heaven, we are a part of God's winning team, that God wants to, as we have been dispersed abroad throughout these communities, throughout the workplace, through in our families, that God wants to show the world how to really endure under pain. And he uses those of us to grow us in order for us to represent well. James says, "Count it all joy, my brethren, when, not if, you encounter various trials." First, if we're going to understand this idea of testing, we must understand that testing reveals our discernment. The word discernment simply means our attitude. It means to have this attitude, this perspective, if you will. What is your perspective when you're going through what you're going through? As a Christian, now, those who may not be Christians, they may not understand many of the things that they're going through in life. And they're saying, well, it's just life happening. Or, you know, I'm just, something happened that I don't have any control of. Well, that's true. But as a Christian, we flip the script and we have a different attitude. We have a different perspective. James says to these believers who have been dispersed abroad, who have been scattered abroad, he says, this is how I want you to view it. Count it all joy. Consider it to be joy. And this joy is not a feeling. It's a matter of fact. The word joy means delight or to be favorably disposed because of the awareness of God's grace. Even in the midst of the most terrible or hardest trial or pain that you may be experiencing, God's grace is still present. God's grace is still present. And see, what you and I have to learn to do is really, as believers, is look back to what God has done for us in the past and the grace that he gave us. Grace means he gives us what we don't deserve. And mercy means he holds back what we do deserve. Over the years that as a Christian, you may have experienced different tests and trials. What did God get you through? How did he get you through? Because of his grace. Because of his mercy. And so now that today, or you might be here today, you're going through a trial, what is James encouraging even us today to do? Count it all joy. Now, the word joy doesn't mean for us to say, well, come on, God, give me some more. give me some more of that. I want some more. I just love pain. That's not what he said. But our attitude in the midst of what we're going through. Why? Because as we're dispersed abroad throughout the community, throughout this world, saints, the unbelievers need to see how we handle our pain. They need to see that we're going through. We have some tests. We have some trials. But our perspective, we have the right perspective because God is really using our life to really display his sovereignty, his superiority. And watch this. The right perspective is foundational to the right response. The right perspective of the trial that you may be experiencing now, or you may not be experiencing now. I heard a preacher say this years ago. He said, we're either doing one of three things. We're in a storm right now. We're going through we're coming out of a storm, or we're about to go into a storm. We're in one of those categories. And so as Christians, we have to really prepare our hearts and minds to understand that this is not a surprise. And even if those storms come in the way of people that are just getting on your last nerves, you just said, you know what? I'm just tired. Back where I'm from, some of the ladies will say, you can just speak to the hand. If you get into that and you say, you know what? I want to get them back. I want to repay some evil. You know, I do a little martial arts. I want to go on and give them a ridge grip. I want to give them a crescent kick. Nuh-uh. You can't do it as a Christian. Don't repay evil, but you have to learn to rejoice. Watch this. In the scriptures, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 15 through 18 says this. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and underline this in your brain and in your Bibles. In everything, give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. What is God doing in our lives? As he's growing us and maturing us and developing us, we have to understand that we must have the right perspective, the right attitude. And James tells these believers, he says, not if you fall into trials or have different sufferings in your life, but he says, when you encounter various trials. When you encounter various trials. The word encounter has the idea of this unexpected occurrence. It's in Luke chapter 10, there's a story about a man that was leaving Jerusalem going to Jericho. And as he was leaving Jerusalem going to Jericho, the Bible says that along the journey, along the way, he fell among thieves. That those thieves or robbers began to take things from him. He wasn't expecting that. He was expecting to have a clear, safe journey, but problems occurred. In Acts chapter 27, as Paul and some others was on this particular ship headed from one place to another, the Bible says that they ran into a storm that was unexpected. Not only was there a storm, but the ship crashed. They didn't expect that. They expected to go from this place to that place and to have smooth sailing. What am I trying to tell you? Many times, even in our lives, we feel the same way, and we become surprised. We get, I wasn't expecting that. Yeah, we may not expect it. But even when it happens, we have to have the right perspective. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 16 says this. Beloved, Peter is also talking to those who are believers. Do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share in the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing. So that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice in exaltation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Make sure that none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or a troublesome meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed, but is to glorify God in this name. Having the right perspective as we're going through. I was talking to a lady this morning after the first service, and she said, you know what, Pastor, I appreciate that sermon because I had cancer. The cancer was so bad, I had a hole in my throat the size of my fist. You could actually put your fist through my throat. And she said, I was sitting in the hospital room, and as I was sitting there, I decided that I was not going to have a pity party. But what I decided to do, she told me, she said, I decided to go from room to room. She took her pole, with no hair, weak in her body, with a hole in her throat. And she said, I began to go from room to room and pray for other people. Wow. That is an amazing attitude from when we are experiencing trials. Now, you don't have to raise your hand, but I just want you to think about for a moment, when you are experiencing trial, do you have the right attitude? What are you seeing God as a mean ogre sitting up in heaven? Psh, get him. Or are you saying, you know what? This is an opportunity for me to show the grace of God and for me to share the grace of God. It's a guy named Warren Wisby says this. Different color trials create a beautiful tapestry. Do you think about the most beautiful quilt, the most beautiful painting you've ever seen, and the different colors? In order for that tapestry or that quilt or those paintings to be the best and have these variety, there has to be a variety of colors. You just see a painting, just gray. That's dull. God is trying to do something in your life and in my life that's exciting, that's amazing. And so we have to approach our trials and our tests in a different way. But secondly, we must understand not only does trials test or reveal our discernment, but it also reveals our durability. There's a process. Look at verse 3. Knowing that the testing of your faith is producing something, produces endurance. Produces endurance, knowing that the testing of your faith. As a Christian, we have to know that God is not trying to get us. He's not out to get us. But actually, God uses these tests to produce something in us. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. That was a commercial came up that was on TV some years ago. It was about trash bags. The commercial was about trash bags, and one company, Hefty was the name of the company. Hefty trash bags was supposed to be the most endurable trash bags. They can withstand anything. You put it in the trash bag and poke it and push it, it's okay. It's not, the trash bag won't break. But they were kind of in their competition. Hefty was saying that the competition's trash bags, if you put anything in there at the drop of a dime, it's going to break. And so they would say something like this on the commercial. Hefty trash bags was so strong, it was like, hefty, 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 right? And the competitor's trash bag was wimpy, wimpy, wimpy. And so I thought about that. I'm like, God, am I when I'm experiencing my trials, am I like the wimpy, wimpy, wimpy? Or am I hefty, hefty, hefty? Am I representing well? Do I understand that even in this, that you're trying to do something great because there is, watch this, a process that God is taking us through, and you and I cannot crumble under testing. I mean, we could, but that's not what God wants from us. He wants us to represent well. We're on his winning team. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 says that we are ambassadors for Christ. Amazing. An ambassador is a representative of another country, of another world. And because we are saved, we have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, we are representatives of a higher kingdom, of God's kingdom. And so when we leave these doors, we leave out of these doors and get in our cars and go to our various places of employment, go to our homes, going throughout this world, God wants us as ambassadors to represent him well, even through our tests, because he's wanting our faith to grow. Roy Zuck, a professor at Dallas Theological, says this. Faith is like gold. It stands in the test of fire. Without this approved standard of faith, trials would not yield perseverance or endurance. It's a process in the mining of ore and ore beginning to become the strong steel. It's called power metallurgy. It's the extraction of purification of metals by processes involved the application of heat. In order for this ore that's unearthed to be transformed into this strong steel, the heat has to be turned up. But before the heat is turned up, there are some chemicals that's placed inside of the ore, inside of the crucible, that will be turned up, where the fire is going to be turned up to allow all of the impurities to come out. But in order for this ore to become strong steel, the heat has to be turned up and it has to be hot. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, in our lives, sometimes God has to turn up the heat to help us to grow, to help us develop, because if he's going to use us greatly, he has to get rid of the things that's in us that's going to prohibit us from representing him well. Many of you here can testify. If I ask you, poll the audience, and I would ask you, how many of you have ever had to go through a painful experience in your life? You probably put up both hands and both feet. You probably like, yeah, I've gone through it. And I would ask you the next question: how many of you really enjoyed it? You're probably like, no, I really didn't enjoy it. But now, as you look back, and you look back as to where God has brought you, how he's kept you, even though the heat was turned up, and you look back, and I ask you the question: how many of you now believe that God was working something amazing in your life? And you look back and say, yeah, yes, yes, the divorce. I didn't really want to go through that, but God now is using me to be a great minister to some other people. The sickness in my body. Yeah, I really didn't want to go through that, but God is using that to grow me, has used that to grow me and do some amazing things. Saints, that's what God is doing in our lives. Sometimes the heat has to be turned up, because in order to get rid of the things in us, God has to get the wrong things out of us. James 1:12 says this: blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let me ask you a question. Those of you who are Christians, do you love God? Do you love him? Well, if you love him, you got something promised. That after the pain, after the suffering, after the testing, James says there's something waiting for us. There's something, this crown of life. And I can tell you from personal experience, I have gone through test after test after test. No, I wasn't the guy saying, come on, God, give me more. Come on, God, give it to me. No, I don't want it. But now that I look back and I see how stronger I've become, that now I'm standing here doing this, I'm preaching to you, encouraging you, saying, you know what, brother, you can make it. Sister, you, it's okay, you can make it. Young person, you can make it. Why? Because when you're on the winning team, there are no losers. Jesus Christ, you're on the Jesus Christ team. You're on a winning team. And because of that, all glory to God, it's going to be okay. So God is just really trying to work on your staying power, your durability in this test. It's going to be okay. So testing reveals our discernment, our durability. But lastly, it also reveals our development. There is a end result that God wants to have occur in all of our lives as Christians, as believers. There is a big picture. Many times we view our lives in the black and white screens of life. The TVs, you remember, some of you may remember back in the day, there were TVs and the TVs were only black and white. And in my house, we had to use pliers to change the channel. Not only did we use pliers, but to keep the channel from being fuzzy, we had to put some aluminum foil on the antenna. That's just what happened in my house. But now we've progressed. Black and white, color, HD. Some of you got big screens in your house. And you and I have to learn how to view these tests in our lives on the big screens. Like, what is God trying to do? Well, let me give it to you. You ready? God spells maturity T-E-S-T. You want to grow? You want to develop? T-E-S-T, test. Look at verse 4. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be complete, perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. The word perfect means the end or the major objective, the main idea of life. God has a main idea for your life and for my life. And through testing our faith, God begins to develop us and make us into what he would have us to be. That was a commercial years ago, antacid commercial, and they would say, how do you spell relief? And they would say, R-O-L-A-I-D-S, Rolaids. Well, that's your question. How do you spell maturity? T-E-S-T. T-S-T. God is trying to mature us, and either we're maturing in life or we're declining. We're staying still. We're not really growing and maturing because God is expecting us as believers, as ambassadors for his kingdom, to grow. You know, as a child, I really did not like doctors. Many of you have kids in here. You take them to the doctor, you know, to get shots or whatever the case may be. They're screaming and crying. I was that kid. I did not like needles because I understood that every time this guy in this white suit, come here, baby, with this long thing in his hand, I already knew that was going to mean pain. They would inject that medicine into my body. I hated it. But as I grew, years later, I began to understand that syringe filled with medicine, as he began to inject it in my body, was important for my body to heal and become better. That's what, now I know it sounds crazy and far-fetched, but see, nothing in God that God does to me makes sense. I don't understand how he tells people in the Old Testament to march around a wall 6 days, for one time for 6 days, and then on the seventh day, you march around seven times, so 13 times. I don't understand how God, or why God told him to do that, and then he said, make a shout, and then the walls are gonna come tumbling down. It happened. I don't understand how God tells a nation, a man, Moses, to lift up a rod over the Red Sea, mountains on the side, Pharaoh behind him, a Red Sea in front of him, and God tells Moses, man, stop whining and complaining and stretch out the rod over the water. And the Bible says that the water began to part on both sides. I don't understand that, but it happened. You might not understand how T-E-S-T is for your maturity, but we have to, by faith, trust God. That's an acronym, F-A-I-T-H, faith. Forsaking all, I trust him. When you're going through what you're going through, you have to, don't look at what's happening. You have to forsake all and really trust God and understand that he has your best interest at heart. Because what God is trying to do in this process of molding us and making us is to help us be an encouragement to some other people. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 4 says this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our afflictions, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. We go through, we're comforted by God, so that we can comfort some other people who's going through. Doesn't matter your age in here. From the youngest to the oldest, whatever you're going through, God's purpose is to help you get through it so that you can help some other people get through it. There's a story about a man who basically was looking at a butterfly struggle trying to get out of his cocoon. The butterfly was struggling and straining, trying to get out of a little hole in top of the cocoon, and the man's heart just went out. And, oh, man, something, that's just so sad. That, you know, we got to do something to help the butterfly get out of this cocoon. And so the story goes that the man got some scissors and began to clip away the cocoon out from around the butterfly, and the butterfly was able to go free. But this is the problem. The butterfly was relegated to crawling on his belly for the rest of his life because the whole purpose of the struggle of getting out of the cocoon was to make sure that the butterfly's wings were strong enough to be able to lift it to higher heights. In our lives, you might say, well, as a Christian, I just thought it was going to be easy. Nope, it's not. But you know what? It's easier when we have the right person, Jesus Christ, on our side. When we have God on our side, it's easier. And see, we say, well, I don't want to go through this because it's too tough. You know, get some scissors and cut away. But see, you're strong. Your muscles won't be developed. You won't be able to fly. You won't be able to soar. You won't be able to do all that God has called you to do. So, yes, you and I have to go through the struggle in order for God to use us greatly. We have to go through the struggle. Even when we hear that beep sound, and you know, it's like your favorite program in life, your life is being interrupted by the beep. We have to stick around. Because see, what I didn't understand as a young boy early on, when that sound came on, actually before the sound, the commentator would say this, the voice said this, that this is a 60-second test. I got mad. I got up from the, man, why did he keep interrupting my program? But I failed to understand that it wasn't going to last all day. What am I trying to tell you this morning? I want you to understand that you might be here today experiencing one of the most toughest times in your life. Or next week, you don't know, something may come up in your life and you're saying, you know what, how am I going to deal with it? You're going to deal with it by understanding that even though you're going through it, God may have allowed it to get your muscles stronger. And guess what? It won't last too long. I've been going to the gym because I want to be like some of you guys out there, got a big chest. And, you know, I was going to come out here and do like that and kind of preach the whole sermon like this. So you can like... But then I would have got tired like I'm tired now. And you would have figured out that I don't really have those muscles, right? But I noticed something as I go to the gym. That in order to get the results, because, you know, I'm very observant. I'm very observant, right? So I go to the gym and I'm watching these guys, big calves, you know, wearing these shorts, and they, you know, tight, man, and their chest was just, I'm like, man, I want to be like that. So while I'm on the elliptical, right? I'm on the elliptical, I'm watching what they're doing. You know, one guy's over in the corner with some weights, doing this, right? Another guy is on the floor doing push-ups with a weight and doing that, you know? And so I'm like, yeah, when I get done, I'm going to do that, right? But I noticed something, and maybe you've seen this too. In order for those guys to get those muscles, it takes work. It takes pain. It takes effort. It takes energy. It takes endurance. Because it takes discipline. In order to get those results, you have to go through the pain. No pain, no gain. So the question that I want to leave with you today is this. Are you still getting angry over the small things? I know it's tough, and I'm not trying to belittle or you know, be condescending or be, you know, just say, man, it's not that bad. No, I understand it's tough. It hurts, and it's tough. It's tough sometimes. You cry. God has given us that emotion that we can cry. We have sorrow in our lives. We can. It's okay. Crying is actually therapeutic, but we can't stay there. This church is positioned to do some amazing things, not only in this community, but around the world. You're already doing some amazing things in this community around the world. But how is God going to get maximum glory? It's going to be because all of us in here that are Christians, who are saved, who understand that God is really trying to develop our spiritual muscles so that when we go into these communities they're in pain, families are in pain, that we can go out and say, you know what? But there is a God. There is a God who gives grace. There is a God who loves you. And let me just tell you my story. And then we can encourage some other people. That's what God is trying to do through this, through our tests and our trials. He's trying to grow us up. So what's our takeaway today? God's ultimate goal through testing is to mature you so that you will be able to do what? Bring him maximum glory. There's no other way. There's no other way. If you want the results, we must go through the pain. But you know what? We go through it with the right attitude. When I say, God, give me some more, I just want to get stronger. No, as he brings it, we have to be hefty, 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 and not weepy, weepy, weepy. Right? All of us have been there. many of us have probably been there, but we've been the wimpy. We crying, you know, you ask a person how they doing. I'm just powerless. It's going to be okay. God wants us, as we leave here today, to have a different attitude, to allow God's grace to live through us. Let me pray for us. God, I pray today that you allow all of us to go through our tests and our trials with the right attitude. God, understanding that you want to use us greatly to win this world, and you've so chosen tests to mature us. So God, help us to engage in those areas that will bring you the maximum glory. We pray this in Jesus' name.